BBC. Holby City, starring Rosie Marcel as Jack, Michael Thompson as Johnny, Guy Henry as Hanson, and Bob Barrett as Sasha. Blood Money, written by Nick Fisher.
I love you.
Likewise. I wake up every morning and I actually can't believe that you're my lady friend.
How about wife?
I was just taking the opportunity to explain to Mr. Mooney how our new system is going to make our hospital a better place for all of our customers.
Each one of these patients has suffered at the hands of this ridiculous referral scheme.
That is simply not true.
Nurse, it's been a bloody nightmare, but I've...
He collapses.
I'm really sorry, but I thought you might know. He's just died on the ward.
Let's take a look at your poster boy for this goddamn referral.
Yeah? What do you think? Almost looks like a real person.
Mr. Hanson.
Yeah, speaking.
Mr. Henrik Hanson.
Clinical director. Fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons.
A murderer. But you've got blood on your hands.
Hanson. And I'm gonna make you pay.
I see.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, so I gather from all your calls and emails.
I'm coming for you.
Very good.
Keep looking over your shoulder.
I most surely will. Bye now.
Hanson calmly makes a move on his chessboard.
Honestly, my accountant single-handedly trying to raise a rainforest here.
That reminds me. Daniel's nursery, they need a check.
So complicated. It's costing a fortune.
Maybe I could help out with the paperwork.
I barely understand it myself.
Oh, so it'd be right over my little blonde head.
No, I didn't. It's just that... But with me being Levy and you Williams and Daniel Levy Williams, it's so complicated. And there are tax implications.
Oh, it can't be that hard.
Well, it could be a lot easier.
Oh. Okay.
Well, Saul says that if we get married sooner rather than later, we can save on our tax liability. Two Americanos, please.
What did you just say?
Two Americanos?
If we get married, then we...
Save tax. So, let's get married quickly and save more tax.
I can't believe you just said that.
You know, when I was a wee kid, my parents told me that I was special, that I had special powers, that members of the opposite sex, girls, would then find me irresistible.
I've got an aortic aneurysm, OK? It's a basket case from end to end, and I haven't been in theatre in 3 weeks.
Ah. And there was me thinking it was last night's sexual fireworks display on your mind.
Whatever.
You know this dynamic where we pretend that we're not in a relationship and you make me wait in the car for 5 minutes while you go to work so that it doesn't look like we arrived together? I was just wondering, is that getting a wee bit old?
10.
Sorry, 10. 10 what? 10 out of 10 for last night?
10 minutes.
As she gets out of the car, he winds the window down.
Love you! Miss you!
All I'm saying is it would be prudent and expedient financially if we, you know, tied the knot, did the deed. Soon.
Prudent and expedient.
Yes.
The two words a girl longs to hear.
Yes. I know, it's not very romantic, but...
Romantic? It's like being wooed by the tax inspector.
Jack joins them in the lift.
Morning.
Morning.
Lovely morning.
Morning. Morning. So you got your coffee, Miss Neal?
Yeah.
He looks annoyed as he crosses his arms and the lift doors close. George finds Hanson examining a young woman with an inflamed wound.
Looks like an infection. Should improve if you just release some air, please. Good morning.
Doc's on camera. Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. After the nationwide talent search, but before the tedious costume drama.
If there's a point, please spare no haste in making it.
7.2 million viewers is the point. A fly-on-the-wall documentary showing Britain's top surgeons doing what they do best.
Fail to see where this is leading.
St. James blew them out last night. MRSA infection. Huge embarrassment, two theatres out of action, TV producers desperate to find a new hospital location.
No.
The board have agreed and I've already said yes.
A TV crew.
These shows thrive on melodrama.
And triumph. Triumph over tragedy. Doctors who save lives and bring happiness where there was sorrow are heroes in the TV viewer's eyes.
Filming is intrusive.
And illuminating. Holby's heroes, Mr. H. Raises Holby's status in the public perception.
How exactly do you think that'll work?
By thinking outside of the box, Mr. Hansen. You, Professor Hope, on camera, performing a very rare one-stage total arch-descending aortic replacement.
A total is an extreme...
The Hansen-Hope-Holby dream team.
Demanding...
State-of-the-art facilities in the hands of world-class surgeons, showing Holby at the forefront of innovative procedure.
And how do we magically find time for this extraordinarily complex procedure?
Well...
No! She's my patient, and I was told the total's too much strain on theatre time. Overreaching resources.
Under the circumstances, we've decided to review.
Well, then I'd still like to do it.
Of course you do.
Elliot's already been part of a total.
And so's Hansen. Docs on camera want to come back, feature more of our top docs. Now, by all means, call Mr. Hansen. I'm sure he'd be happy for you to appear in the background, working the suction tube. Or wait, and we'll make the Naylor show. It's a no-brainer.
Annoyed, Jack marches over to a desk and sits back-to-back with Johnny.
Well, look on the bright side. It frees you up for a bit of afternoon delight in the linen cupboard.
I've just lost my most important procedure in months. It's rapidly becoming crystal clear that cardio is a surgeon's graveyard, and you think that the prospect of a sweaty clinch with a skinny Scottish nurse is gonna...
Harry's GP just called.
Barry.
Solar panels, Barry. Pavement when he arrives.
Sorry, you were just getting to the bit about the sensual encounter with the muscular and rugged Celt. Come on, Jack, it's only work. You know, lighten up a bit, for heaven's sake. Just chill out, eh?
Chill? But for your information, it's not only work.
Oh, what? Don't tell me. It's me. Is that it? But because I dare to say that the whole 10-minute into work airlock thing was a wee bit primary school. Look, just because I happen to have the ability to see through the frosty, ice exterior of Jack Naylor enough to want to jump her bones more than once does not make me an emotional retard.
She turns to him.
If you must know, I'm late.
Late for what? Late for what? Oh.
She storms off, and a little too late, the penny drops for Johnny.
Relationships need to be nurtured. I mean, when's the last time you took her out somewhere nice where she had to wear killer heels?
Whoa, Sasha. It ain't rocket science. You just throw money at it.
Okay. It's not all about money, okay? I mean, Chrissy likes me for my warmth and my wit. I make her laugh.
Oh, my God.
In a cubicle.
Sorry, I was trying to get the best angle for his blog.
Of course. This is my gift to you.
The boy was taking a photo.
Ooh, dear, that's a very nasty-looking laceration.
Now, what's caused it? Let's have a look. Flash effect from snapped cable.
Weyerhauser. I was up high above it when it snapped. Then it recoiled. Loose end. Whipped back. Dug right into the flesh.
Okay, don't tell me. Building site? Up on some scaffolding? Wire from a brick lifting elevator worked loose?
Research ship, South Irish Sea. Lowering a mini sub into the water.
Oh, yes, sure. A mini sub? Wow, blimey. Who are you? James Bond?
Gordon Tracy, captain of Thunderbird 4.
He's a deep sea diver, underwater welder, manual metal arc.
Really? Wow. Is this your son?
Nephew.
He's my little brother's boy. They live near, see?
All right.
So, and they choppered me into the docks.
Choppered?
No, we haven't got his files yet.
I'm so in the wrong job. Right, now, I think we're going to do a head and chest x-ray. Make sure there's no cable strands in that wound, and then close up that gash.
I don't need an X-ray, surely. It's only a scratch.
So we just move up to the Keller to meet the patient.
OK, right. Should I just...
Exactly. We keep rolling. We keep rolling. We just let the drama unfold. Hello, George Binns. Beg your pardon.
In Hansen's office.
He knew my name, he knew my job title, everything. He said I had blood on my hands.
Yes, I see.
And in this low, creepy voice, he said he wanted to squeeze my windpipe.
And wring it out like a wet rag.
Yeah, so I'm going to call the police. They can trace the call. Wait, what do you... How...
There's no need to call the police, Mr. Binns. I know exactly who made these calls.
Sasha has a bunch of flowers and is altering a get-well card.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, believe me, Chrissy has a very well-developed sense of comic irony.
Jack strides past Johnny.
Don't you think we should have a little chat?
In a side room, Jack finds a middle-aged woman with a riding hat and crop.
Is this a joke?
Beg your pardon, dearie.
Well, which was it? Hen night or Conservative Party fundraiser?
I'm sorry.
OK, you can sit down now.
I'm fine.
Sit down.
I am not a dog, you know.
And I'm not a dearie. OK. Low blood pressure, abdominal pain, erratic pulse, abnormal high temperature, blah, blah, blah.
I'm fine.
You were trampled on by a horse.
Not the first time.
Huh. Only normally it's your head.
Sorry.
I need to listen to your chest.
Jack goes over.
Can you take off your jacket and open up your shirt, please?
No, I am not in the mood for this today.
Mum!
What is she doing here?
I got a call from Jinx.
Oh, she would. You can't keep a snout out.
Said you were dragged across the yard by synapse and driven away unconscious in an ambulance.
I am fine.
She's not. I'm her daughter.
Yes,
I got that. Could you tell her to take off her jacket and open up her shirt so I can listen to her chest before I retire? Don't ask, just do it.
Jack opens the shirt to reveal purple bandaging.
What is this?
I feel like I'm repeating myself.
Yeah, you are.
It's like a relative of an ex-patient made several verbal threats on your life and you do nothing.
The relative of a patient who died in our care.
People die every day in Holby. 2.4% of all patients ever admitted fail to leave, other than in a box. In this situation, there is a strict professional protocol. You of all people...
His father died as a direct consequence of our actions regarding the AAU Keller non-referral scheme.
The trust offered an out-of-court settlement. He accepted...
His father was refused treatment because we were implementing an unworkable departmental policy.
An out-of-court settlement to establish no blame on our part.
Well, his son thinks we're to blame.
I think it's our duty to inform the police.
So you have a film crew here filming the unfolding drama of Holby's heroic doctors, and you would like to bring in the police? You think that's wise?
Sorry, they want to shoot a patient conference.
Turning to George...
Just leave this to me. I'll deal with Mr. Mooney. He's no real threat, I assure you.
Someone takes a power tool to a tyre on Hansen's car.
Some sort of weird rural perversion.
I quite like it. Sort of Tutankhamun on acid.
What happened?
Excuse me.
Last week, Mr. Showtime squished me in the washdown box up against the concrete.
What is it?
It's vet rat. Will you shush? Now, Mr. Showtime is huge. 17'3", 5'6 to the wither, built like a brick shed.
Something went crunch.
Oh, well, generally, crunch is not good.
And of course you did nothing about it.
So? Why?
Self-adhesive horse bandage.
Horse bandage?
We use it to keep gel packs and dressings in place. I'm a vet. Or trainee.
Which is why she shouldn't be here. She's got exams. Make her go.
Thanks, Mum.
Look, I run a livery. I haven't time for this.
You do understand the concept of the NHS. Hospitals have doctors trained in human medicine.
And it's all free.
I've been in hospital with cracked ribs. All they do is bind them and tell you to sleep sitting up. So I bound them.
We haven't bound ribs in over a decade. Right, can I have FBC's use and ease chest x-ray?
Actually, Miss Neal, I was wondering if you and I might have a quick chat.
And an echo. And unwrap her.
Or perhaps not.
To Bryn's nephew.
I don't think you want to be here for this.
Yeah?
Bloody good education for the lad. Watching a skilled surgeon at work, he might learn something.
OK. Now, I'm afraid this is going to leave a pretty chunky scar.
Huh. Not my first.
Can I show him?
Go on.
That was a black-tipped reef shark in the Galapagos.
Blimey.
Manta ray barb, diving Cayo Largo off southwest Cuba.
Wow.
Girl, what a life you lead, eh? But you got a Harley in the garage, haven't you? And a girl in every port.
Two.
Chrissy sent your flowers back. Guess she doesn't do irony.
Woman trouble.
My patient could have died and been cremated by then. Cretins.
You know, you want to watch the whole people-pleasing thing. Sometimes you've just got to speak your mind.
3 hours to do a liver function test for the mad horsewoman. All because transplant team have hogged all of the lab time.
Yeah, well, what can I say? Organ transplant, it's where it's at. It's the medicine of the future.
Whereas cardiothoracics is all but dead, is that it?
No, that's not what I said. I'm just shooting the breeze. You're late? What on earth does that mean?
Do you need me to paint you a picture?
Well, you're late and you've done a test, or you're late and you're about to?
No!
Not done a test?
Not yet, no.
Oh, wait, why not yet?
Who are you, my gynecologist?
No, I'm your... I'm involved, is all, and I just thought we could deal with it together.
Deal with it?
OK, stop. Stop. As an involved party in this, late, obviously I am keen to know. I know I'm not a clever heart doctor, but I don't think not knowing, i.e. burying your head in the sand...
I don't think that sticking your nose in my business is a good idea.
Don't I have some kind of
rights
here?
No, you don't!
I just assumed that because I'm
already
involved...
Look, if I were you, I would assume nothing, OK?
Sasha drops the beheaded flowers into the bin.
Wife, girlfriend, or mother?
Fiancé, actually.
You need to talk to her.
What?
Gestures go wrong. Flowers are too often sent as an apology, instead of the apology actually being expressed.
I'm sorry, did you just say...
Uncle Bryn says most men are emotionally constipated.
Does he?
Uncle Bryn's very cool.
The boy, Angus, goes back to his uncle and Sasha examines a lung x-ray. Michael appears.
Hey, what do you think they are?
Lesions on the lung.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. And see these? These lobes are large. Lung looks inflamed.
Do a CT?
I would.
That's a shame. He's a deep-sea diver.
Not anymore.
Did you put him straight?
Tried to, yeah.
You listen to me, kid. You won't go wrong, right?
Okay. Like the threat said, remember the viewers, keep it simple. Right, we rolling?
Rolling.
Okay.
Hansen stands in front of the camera.
An aortic aneurysm is, as the nomenclature suggests, an aneurysm developed upon the feeble wall of the aorta being the largest artery in the body, transporting oxygenated blood perpendicularly through the thorax and abdomen.
Sorry, may I? I like to think of the aorta as a garden hose. It's about the same thickness, watering all parts of the garden, and an aneurysm as a bulge at a weak point.
Oh. I'm going to have to take this, actually. Excuse me, please.
Hansen?
Just pick up where we left off.
Sorry. Rather like the point on the hose...
I'm afraid this is not a good moment.
When an aneurysm's about
to burst, the pain is unbearable. Like your chest is trapped in a vice.
Threatening George Binns was not a good idea, Mr. Mooney.
He sounded scared.
He was.
Good.
So he's calling the police.
Is that what you want, police involvement?
If that's what it takes.
To do what exactly?
To punish you for
what you did.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to say goodbye now.
Look out the window, Mr. Hansen. Down in the car park.
Why?
I'm here. Your precious hospital.
What do you intend to do?
You won't see me.
Maybe I should see someone
else. Chrissy Williams.
She was the nurse on Keller, right? She turned him away.
Wait there, please.
Hansen leaves.
Where's he going?
You'll get me into trouble, you will. Tell them the doctors I never offered you any painkillers.
Sorry, didn't mean to. I don't want any.
So, among a whole roadmap of cracks and calluses and scar tissue, there is a new fracture to the costal cartilage.
It's what holds the sternum to the end of the ribs.
In a human.
Doesn't sound much.
Oh, no. It only allows the chest to expand every time you breathe, and you don't need to breathe. That's totally redundant.
B's been offered 75 milligrams of diclofenac, but she's refused.
Oh, some pain threshold.
Will it need treatment?
An operation.
I haven't got time for that.
Oh, well, if you don't, it'll hurt like a donkey danced on your ribs every time you take a breath for next 6 months.
When can it be done?
Today, I suppose. Do you get any symptoms of dizziness, shortness of breath, palpitations, sweats?
I'm 52. I'm menopausal. I get all of that every day.
Any blood in your feces?
No.
Is it complicated?
I cut you open and stick a metal plate across your ribs with a drill and four screws. Put it this way. Even an orthopedic surgeon could do it.
You don't sound very...
excited?
Oh, no.
It's the pinnacle of my career.
Lung x-rays.
I hate this job.
I hate lungs.
Oh, is this your lung transplant's x-rays?
I wish it wasn't.
Abscesses?
Could be.
Oh, bronchial pneumonia.
Could be the start of rejection.
Could be an infection he picked up.
Could be something that came with the lungs.
Oh, good luck with that.
We need to page the professor.
And good luck with that. Elliot's tag-teaming with Hansen on my total aortic. Won't be clear all day.
I'll get him pumped up with 1.5 grams of flucloxamine.
Oh, no, you don't. Do you seriously expect me to believe that everything between the two of you is cushy?
Why is it to you all of a sudden?
Well, I could say that I really care about you, but truth is, I'm just really bored and nosy.
Look, there's nothing up. It's just she's got stuff.
What stuff?
My lips are sealed.
No. You don't get to tease and then clam up. That's provocation.
I can't.
What stuff?
You couldn't waterboard it out of me.
All right, whatever. I know it's nothing really juicy. I mean, it's not like she's carrying your love child or anything.
She looks up at him in shock. Hansen makes his way out of the hospital into the car park, where he spots two of his tyres punctured. Embedded in each is a small U-shaped pin. He thinks for a moment, then carries on through the car park to a converted ice cream van which bears the words Mooney and Son. The back door is slightly ajar and Hansen walks up to it. Peering in, he can see Mooney's son, Nick, sitting at a small table with piles of banknotes laid out in front of him. Without a word, Hansen steps inside and spots three petrol canisters and the power tool.
Mr. Mooney.
Mr. Hansen.
No. Jack is all about her career.
What career? CT specialists are about to sort after a syphilis these days.
Yeah, but there's no way she wants to become a mum. I mean, she is the least maternal woman I have ever met.
So why would any normal woman who thought she might be pregnant not take a test?
I don't know. Because she's afraid of having to make a decision.
Give that boy a cigar. She gets 38, she's scared because she knows she's not going to get many more chances at it.
If she is pregnant, and she wants to keep it, where does that... what does that mean?
She'll be a mum.
Because I don't know if I'm ready to be a dad.
Nick shuts the van door as Hansen talks.
Making verbal threats on my life is to some degree understandable. I do appreciate you've suffered a terrible loss.
You want a brew?
No, thank you. Now, I'm prepared to accept this as a passing phase of your grief. I'm also prepared to overlook...
I've got a gas hob.
what's happened thus far in order that you may come to
town. Propane burner. Little two-man kettle. Proper job. With a whistle.
What I cannot and will not tolerate are threats against any member
of
my...
Dad and me always had a brew.
Staff.
When we were on our way job, a couple of bacon butties. One time we were renovating a farmhouse kitchen, they brought us eggs. Straight from the chickens. Wallop. Straight in the pan.
I appreciate that you must have been very close.
Mooney and Son. Renovations and restorations.
Nick sets light to a rolled-up £20 note.
Haven't stepped foot in the workshop since.
He lights the stove with a burning note.
Can't face it.
Grief does pass, you know. It may not end exactly, but each phase, however painful, does, I assure you.
Why do they give me money?
For your loss.
Compensation.
A settlement.
To compensate. Lose your dad. Get this.
But I don't think anyone is suggesting that.
Got a letter. No call, no meeting, no man from the ministry. No one's spoken a word to me.
Well, I regret that's illegal protocol.
The case of your father, who you allege was treated suboptimally during his stay.
Well, you see, any claim of negligence...
An unsatisfactory outcome. That's what they called his death.
Well, it's illegal.
He didn't even use his name. Not once.
Well, that is regrettable.
One thing at a time. That's what Dad always said. Make the best job of today, today. Worry about tomorrow, tomorrow.
Hansen glances down at the petrol cans while Nick pulls out a mobile.
Might I ask what you hope to achieve today?
You want to hear him dying?
Professor Hope, just talk us through what you're doing.
Right, I've just injected the heart with a potassium solution to,
Forgive my indulgence, but even as an experienced
cardiothoracic specialist, this moment you're about to witness
still gives me goosebumps.
Now, a beating heart is dramatic, but what
you are about to see is even more dramatic.
I'm going to make the heart stop. If you come just
a little focus in a bit closer. The potassium freezes the heart
and keeps it in suspended animation while allowing us to work on it. And meanwhile, Helen is kept alive on a heart-lung machine.
Should stop any minute. Yeah. Wonderful.
Hi, son. Just to let you know, I'm still in hospital. Had a bit of a turn. It's been a bloody nightmare, but I think I'm...
He sounds confused.
He sounds very distressed.
He sounds really scared.
Indeed.
The thing is, my dad was never scared of anything. Ever. Except my mum. And the tax man. That was his little joke. Staff nurse Eddie McKee and consultant Michael Spence. They were the ones.
We do deeply regret none of us was able to save
him. But where were you?
Is that what you want today, to find someone specific to blame?
He was killed by a hospital policy. Policy that said... He couldn't be transferred to the ward he needed to be.
Strictly speaking, he died because his abdominal aneurysm ruptured.
In the back of a van?
Yes, unfortunately.
How would you like to die in the back of a van?
Moe's looking at the lung x-ray on a computer.
Barry.
Abscesses. Oh, poor bloke's riddled with them. He's going to have to lose some of that lung.
And we've got no Elliot today. He's tied up with Jack's total.
Yeah, then we'll have to get Jack in there with us.
No, not today.
We've got no choice. We've got to get this gangrene.
Look, we've been here before. I mean, you know Jack doesn't play nice on our team.
It's not about us or you two.
She'll be all up in your face, telling you how to run your department. You'll get all vexed. Okay, I get it. Now, I suppose now that she holds the key to my future, we might as well find out what she's made of.
Yeah, it'll give me a chance to ask her why she hasn't peed on that stick yet. Only joking.
Sasha spots Chrissy.
Chrissy, Sister Williams?
Yes?
The flowers and the card. That was a joke. You did realise, you know. Didn't think I was being cheap.
Sasha, if you've got something to say, just say it.
I just want to talk about us, you know? Make sure everything's...
All right, so if you want to talk about us, you know, if it's something personal, then I would suggest you just talk to my accountant.
He turns to Chantelle, who's working nearby.
Everything I say is wrong.
No.
She's been dragging her heels, setting a date. So this morning, I asked her to marry me. To save income tax.
Oh. Very romantic.
No.
Sitting at her desk, Jack is tapping her fingers nervously. With a sigh, she reaches into her desk drawer to look at a pregnancy test.
We have a situation.
To the middle-aged woman, B.
Right. Change of plan, I'm afraid. I won't be able to do your procedure today.
Good, so I can go home then?
No. I don't trust that you won't do more damage to yourself.
She will.
Right, so you'll stay here and we'll get you in with someone tomorrow, Thursday at the latest.
Well, why can't you do it?
I'm needed on a lung transplant emergency.
Johnny sees Jack walk past the window near to his desk.
We're on.
In the van, Nick is playing with a lighter when Hansen's pager goes off.
Mr. Mooney, this is not a police matter yet. There's still time for it to end well, but if you continue like this, making threats, I'm afraid the conversation's over.
Bad love, Doc. Oak panels, oak boards.
This was his invention. Perfect tool. Whack a spike into a 2-inch board. He called it Rocky. After Sly Stallone, you know. Punch.
Look, for your sake and for the memory of your father...
You know what he would have wanted his lasting memory to be? He'd have wanted me to kick all your asses from here to payday.
Would that help?
No one apologised!
Well, as clinical director, let me convey that we're deeply saddened by the events that led to his death.
His death? Not even you can say his name!
We are sorry about the circumstances surrounding your father.
Thank you!
They shake hands, but Nick handcuffs Hansen.
What exactly do you think you're doing?
You're not sorry. None of you are.
So this is the aorta coming out of the heart, shaped like the handle of a walking stick.
OK, let's cut that.
No Mr. Hansen yet.
So what's next?
It's a handing over, which is critical. Team timing is crucial. It's like the passing of a baton in a relay race. One fumble, and everything is lost. Really do with an ETA for Mr. Hansen, please. Thank you.
I've only got powdered milk. Dad wouldn't have liked that. Cow juice should be wet, that's what he'd say.
Hansen goes to answer his phone, but Nick takes it from him.
George Binns.
I have a woman lying on an operating table at this very moment who needs my attention.
And?
She has three children.
So bloody what?
Is that what your father would say?
Yeah.
Is it? Is it really? Because I got the impression your father was a very kind man, a man with a very strong conscience.
You don't know anything about him. You never even met him.
A man who would take such time and care and love to hand-carve an entire chess set for his grandson does not seem like the sort of person who would hurt innocent people.
You're not innocent.
No, Mr. Mooney, I'm not. I pushed your dad's trolley. Myself, I took him down from Keller Ward where Mr. Spence had taken him to be treated.
What? You were trying to save him?
Oh, no, quite the opposite.
I took him back to AAU from where he was fatally discharged to another hospital.
Yeah.
So if it's revenge you seek, if you are looking for someone specific to blame, you have the right man here now. Nobody else was doing anything but their jobs. I was in charge. I deprived your father of the treatment he needed. You came for the truth. You have it.
You killed him.
Bryn is being pushed in a wheelchair by Sasha.
I don't want one.
Okay, humour me, all right? It won't hurt.
I was whipped by a cable. I've got a gouge in my flesh. I don't need a scan.
Well, I think you do. Now, look, sorry, but it's important. I need to run a scan to check something. Something came up on your X-ray, and it's not clear.
Bullous emphysema.
Sasha stops for a moment and walks round to face Bryn.
The cystic air sacs.
And you know this? For sure? And do you know what this means?
If I dive, they could rupture. I'd die underwater. Yeah. You figure that much out. I'm getting up to this thing. I feel stupid.
They walk together.
I haven't dived in over 9 months. The lesions were discovered in my last company insurance medical. Instant termination. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Unfit to dive.
So the rescue ship, the mini-sub?
It was a snapped cable on a scaffolding brick elevator. Just like you said. I've been welding reinforcement rods on the building site. Ooh, cool job, Bryn.
Have you told anyone?
What? That I'm welding concrete reinforcement cages in a sewage plant. What do you think?
When were you thinking of telling Angus?
Bryn shakes his head.
The boy thinks I'm a superhero.
How do you think he'll feel when he finds out you've been lying?
Mo is working on her lung transplant patient in theatre.
Oh, Barry. This is the middle lobe, right side lung, riddled with gangrene.
How much resection can we get away with? Cut the middle, trim the lower?
It all has to come out.
What, the whole lobe?
The whole lung.
And leave him with one lung?
I don't think so.
One good one. Leave any part of the infected lung in there and it could spread to the good lung.
Barry waited nearly 2 years for this.
Oh, one of them's OK.
No, resect the infected portion.
Absolutely not.
This really isn't your call.
Actually, it is my call. I don't see another consultant in here.
Jack, please, don't do this.
Mo is glaring at her.
Oh, why are you telling me it's your fault?
Perhaps because I believe it's true.
Well, the report said
nothing. Why would it? This is a hospital trust. Its concern is business, politics. But the truth is, my decision killed your father. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So if you think what your father would want you to do with this knowledge is this, do it.
What?
You set fire to your blood money. Kill me, kill us both, kill that innocent woman and make her 3 children suffer all the pain and bitterness that you're feeling. Go on, do it.
Shut up!
Go on, do it now. You make my error of judgment your father's legacy. And if you want Richard Mooney to be remembered as the man whose death caused yet more death, more pain, do it! Go on, do it now!
Stop it!
Do it!
Overcome with emotion, Nick drops the lighter on the pile of money, which is now on the floor.
We don't have time for this.
I agree. So let's get on with what we should be doing, a pneumonectomy.
Look, I understand why you'd make that call.
Look, he's on anti-rejection drugs. Any infection that we leave in there could cause serious problems, so let's get it out.
No. Believe me, if Barry wakes up with 1.5 lungs, he's going to feel a hell of a lot better than if he wakes up with just one.
In his head, maybe, but not in here.
The effect that each stage of transplant has on the emotional and psychological welfare of the patient, not to mention their family, is huge.
Not as huge as gangrene.
We do know what we're doing.
And I don't.
That's why Elliot appointed us. Me and Mo. Why, we're the transplant team.
Emotion has no place in surgery. Psychological welfare is this simple. the infection spreads, he's dead. What's the emotional impact on his family then?
OK, you just don't get it.
I don't care what's going on between you two today, but it's not going on in my theatre. Johnny Mac.
What do you mean? What does she mean?
Jack, just let Moore finish the op.
No.
You can power play him all you like, but me? I don't care if you think you're pregnant with Elvis's seed. You don't tell me you're chucking away a lung that I fought tooth and nail to get.
You told her?
Right. I'm getting Elliot.
Hansen steps out of Nick's van.
What happens now?
You go home, I go and repair an aneurysm.
No police?
No.
He picks up the lighter without Nick seeing.
So what are you going to do?
Well, you don't care as long as I don't do it here.
It's not true. I wonder if you'd wait for me at hospital reception.
Why?
Just promise you'll wait for me there until I've finished in theatre. May I have that?
No.
Give it to me, please.
I'm not going
to
puncture any more tyres.
Not what I'm concerned about.
No.
Give it to me, please.
No.
Just
give it to me, please.
Get off!
In the struggle, one of the U-shaped pins has been fired. Johnny and Mac are standing to one side of the patient, waiting in silence. The phone rings and a nurse answers it.
Darwin Theatre. It's Professor Hope.
Want to put it on loudspeaker?
Jack goes to the phone.
Look, I am already struggling because Mr. Hansen appears to have gone AWOL. I'm up to my elbows in an aortic graft.
So I will only say this once.
I'm sorry, but...
Jack, I am
well aware of the patient's condition and agree with Ms. Fanger. Save the lung. If you won't do it her way...
Get out of there.
The patient...
Do I make myself clear?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hansen is sitting in the van.
Oh, God, what are we going to do?
Actually, it doesn't seem to have struck anything important.
Well, you need the...
I need some pliers, please.
Nick hands him a pair.
Thank you.
Hansen uses them to pull the pin from his abdomen. A small trickle of blood spills out.
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. Just... grateful if you would wait here at the hospital. I'd like you to do something for me.
Hansen places a handkerchief across the wound and steps down from the van. Jack's in her office when she hears Bee's daughter shouting at her mum.
You've got to stay. You can't just leave
without telling anyone. Mum, come back.
Today. I'm here.
Mum, get back into bed.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Mum.
I'm going home. I am going to strap my ribs up again.
No, we are going to theatre. Get this over with.
Oh, so now you are going to operate.
Do you want this plate fitted or not?
By you? No, I'd rather go home.
Mum.
I don't trust her. You were a vet and you came into my stables with that attitude. I'd have you kicked off the yard.
Well, I'd like to see you try.
Even with broken ribs, I could still make dog mince of you.
Fine. Go home then, and then you'll have to see your doctor and get a referral and go on a waiting list. And it's non-emergency, so it could take 6 weeks. Hopefully longer.
I can see why you're on your own and everyone else is a team. You're horrible.
Come on, we're going to find another hospital.
Jack storms into her office and slams the door. In theatre, Elliot's being filmed.
Normally, the general surgeon...
Mr. Hansen! We perform all the abdominal surgery, mainly because surgeons like myself,
heart surgeons, tend to specialise in the heart.
Not the kidneys, not the intestines, not the liver. If I wanted to specialise in those
organs, I would have become a general surgeon. Thank you.
Can you hold that back now? Right, time is of the essence. I'm now going to attach the graft to the aorta.
Professor. Professor, we can't see. Can we start that again?
What?
We can't make
get
the shot.
Out.
Well, Mr.
Get
Vintegrin,
out of here!
J- Jack comes down to the ward to find all the desks empty. She spots Johnny in the sister's office, working at a computer, and she barges in.
You told her?
I am very sorry.
You told your boss that you think your girlfriend is pregnant?
Mo's my best mate. And anyway, you've been giving me the permafrost all day. I've got no idea what's going on with you in your head. So really, what do you expect?
Some privacy!
Well, stop acting like a psycho. Talk to me. Take the test. Act normal. Anyway, I didn't tell her. She read my mind. Honestly, it's like supernatural or something.
You're pathetic.
We've just been working together for too long. Sometimes I think we're gonna get, like, synchronized periods.
She turns to glare at him.
You do realize you said girlfriend just there. Did say it, though.
She gives him the finger as she walks away, then goes to her office to grab the pregnancy test.
Miss Naylor.
An envelope.
Ah, oh, horsewoman's liver tests. Not my problem anymore.
George finds Hansen with Nick in the cafe.
Wait here, please.
Him who threatened me.
I thought you said you were dealing with the problem.
I am.
Then why is that idiot still here?
He's not an idiot, Mr. Binns. He's a grieving man whose father died on our watch.
He threatened to kill me.
Quite so.
Hansen hurries into the neighbouring hospital building. Sasha tries to avoid Brin's nephew, who's at a snack machine.
By the way, he told me, Uncle Brin, about his new job.
Oh, right.
Pretty cool.
Welding on the site of a...
nuclear bunker? Well, cool.
Yes.
Disguised as a sewage plant. That's so slick.
Hiya.
Oh, hello.
Is this?
Yes, it is.
Sasha said you're a very helpful young man.
I told her how you talked me through all the, you know, the headless flower thing.
So, did the advice work? Did talking help?
No.
No.
Maybe. She just wants you to work a bit harder. Or do something big to grab her attention.
You do know that sometimes you sound like Yoda.
When my Uncle Brin fell in love with the captain's daughter in Brazil and her father wouldn't let him see her anymore, do you know what he did?
I can't imagine.
Well, what he did was...
the toilets.
3 minutes. Like I've got 3 minutes to just throw away.
She's looking at the instructions on the pregnancy test. She places the stick on top of the toilet roll holder, then sits on the loo and opens the envelope. As she reads the contents, she starts to look shocked. She hurries out. But she returns to grab the pregnancy test stick. In theatre.
VP's dropping. Graft isn't holding. 3-0 proline, please. Thank you. Suction. Okay.
Elliot works away with his hands deep in the incision.
Okay, release the pen. It's still bleeding. Where the hell is it coming from?
My apologies, Professor Hope. Now, where are we?
I can't locate the source of the bleed. The rest of the graft is sound.
Monitor lactate and release the clamp, please. Left gastric artery is damaged, if I'm not mistaken. 4-0 proline, please. So we'll suture the artery and repair the graft.
How did I miss that?
This is abdomen and you are heart. It's to his own place. My apologies for upsetting the order of things. This is excellent work, Professor Hope.
Thank you.
Truly excellent. I wonder if when we're finished I might have a few moments of your time?
Yeah, sure. What we're filming?
Downstairs.
I thought maybe we should go back to your office. Film a debrief? Mr. Hansen?
That won't be necessary.
A taxi pulls up outside and B is walking towards it when Jack rushes out.
What have you been taking?
What?
All of those breaks and cracks, what do you take for the pain?
Nothing.
She's lying. She's got internal bleeding. Her white count is high. She could have a very serious infection.
Tablets.
She's been taking this, I'm sure of it. It's hydrozolnate.
This is a horse drug, an equine anti-inflammatory. You've been taking this. We need to get her back inside right now.
I'm too busy.
Mum.
Did you know about this?
No, I know some of our old hunting cronies take it. I didn't think Mum was stupid enough. It gives powerful pain relief.
Yes, for horses. Meanwhile, it's destroying her kidneys.
I knew something was wrong.
What do you mean?
I've been passing blood.
Why didn't you say?
I thought I had bowel cancer. I've seen it in the animals.
What, so you took more and said nothing?
I don't have time for cancer. Sorry.
I need to get you back outside right now.
What are you doing? Where are you taking them?
Don't fluster, Mr. Binns. It won't look very heroic on camera. I'm going to do what I should have done a long time ago.
Hansen buttons his jacket, covering a bloody stain.
Please, Mr. Hansen, if you are about to do what I think you are about to do, please don't do it.
Excuse me. Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Nicholas Mooney.
Hey, pleased to meet you.
Step outside with me, will you, please? Are you ready to record?
Definitely.
George watches as Hansen, Nick and the film crew file outside.
Right. Are you recording? Good. Mr. Mooney, would you stand with me here, please? I would like to make an announcement. I would like to take this opportunity to make an unreserved...
On the ground floor, Chrissy steps out of the lift.
She's here. Chrissy?
I can't stop. I'm meeting Mr. Hansen.
No, you're not.
What? I'm busy.
A phone call from Hansen? That was me.
What?
I know. I was quite pleased with it myself, actually.
I haven't got time for this.
Look, honestly, I need to show you something. Okay, something outside, something very, very special.
We are run off our feet up there.
Chantal?
Okay, I'm ready.
Haul away.
Here we go!
While he's been talking to Chantal, Chrissy has stepped back into the lift and the doors have closed. Bea slowly wakes up to see Jack's smiling face.
Hello. Well, you'll be glad to know that I have done a beautiful repair job. Those ribs are now braced, solid as steel. The horse-strength anti-inflammatories you've been necking have caused renal damage and stomach ulceration. So you will have to stay here for that to be treated. But the best news is you won't be on my ward.
Her daughter smiles as Jack leaves.
The horses...
I'll sort them out. Mum, you should have said something. We're a team, okay?
They hold hands.
Is that a tear?
No.
Johnny's attending to a patient when Jack arrives.
Negative.
Negative? Well, that's good, right?
She seems disappointed. On the TV in the staff room.
Wanted to take the somewhat unprecedented, but I believe long overdue opportunity of making an official apology.
Just when you thought all the good guys were gone.
On behalf of myself, the hospital and
the trust to Mr. Nicholas Mooney here and to his deceased father, Mr. Richard Mooney.
Richard. He hated Richard.
Beg your pardon. To Mr. Richie Mooney for the appalling circumstances surrounding his death.
A death which was a direct result of a deeply flawed hospital policy.
A policy which...
In the background hangs a huge sign which reads, I love you, Chrissy Williams. Chrissy gets up and walks out.
The policy of non-referral which we implemented was directly responsible for Mr. Richie Mooney's death.
That was more than just professional suicide, Mr. Hansen.
You threw yourself under the bus.
I told the truth.
Was that part of the plan?
We let a patient down.
George pulls a letter from his jacket and places it on Hansen's desk.
I really admire what you tried to do. I'm truly sorry, but I just can't be a part of this.
I quite understand.
The Trust will crucify you.
Thank you, Mr. Binns. I accept your resignation.
He ceremoniously buttons up his jacket.
I would have given you my A game every single moment of every single day, but I cannot stand by and watch you fall on your sword.
I do understand. It is likely to get a little messy.
I've learned such a lot from you, Mr. H. Sadly, to get on in this profession, I'll probably have to forget most of it.
George reaches out his hand, and when Hansen shakes it, the young man smiles broadly before leaving.
Chrissy? Chrissy?
Sasha searches the ward and finds her in a kitchen area staring out of the window.
Chrissy?
That was so lovely.
He goes to her and they hold each other.
Oh, good. This is good. So, we're still getting married?
Of course.
And really, it doesn't matter when?
No, I want it to be soon.
Soon?
Very soon.
Great, that's great.
But it has to be small, OK? That banner thing was lovely, but...
Well, it was big. It was, yes.
So the wedding has to be small, low-key, small.
Well, your wish, my command.
I mean it.
I know, I understand, I do. Small. Oh.
Hansen walks to his office door and using a key he's taken from his pocket, locks it. He then takes a seat behind his desk and thinks for a moment before reaching to his chess game and lying his black king on its side. He opens a drawer and takes out a suture kit. Hansen takes a small surgical wipe from the kit. Then he lifts his shirt and removes a square dressing, wincing a little with the pain. He cleans his wound with the wipe, then dabs at the blood. With a fixed expression, he inserts the suture into his flesh using surgical scissors.